The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Howard. This is my co-host, Kara.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, okay, the first item, the House launched an impeachment investigation into Trump's conversation with the Ukraine Prime Minister, where he appeared to use the threat of withholding U.S. aid to pressure the government into investigating Joe Biden's son, yada yada. So, yeah, everyone has already heard about that and gotten their party-approved opinions in a row, so there's no need to dwell on it. But we are a conspiracy theory show, and so we can't just ignore it. When is politics going to be boring again? I'm so tired. Anyway, moving on to less controversial topics, President Trump shared a tweet wishing everyone in Point Pleasant a happy Mothman Festival, which I think we can all agree is an admirable and good-hearted sentiment. Mothman himself was not at the festival, nor did he respond to the tweet, presumably for political reasons. A Tucson man killed his son while trying to exorcise demons, which is, of course, his prerogative as a parent. The man says at the child's birth he saw, quote, something evil inside him and had to get it out. So naturally he poured scalding hot water down the child's throat and held him underwater for minutes at a time. He explained that the arresting authorities did not have the proper mindset or belief to understand his actions. Finally, new research suggests that the elusive Planet Nine may not be a planet at all, but a primordial black hole. A relatively small black hole that formed shortly after the Big Bang. Although they acknowledge that it is most likely a planet, the researchers argue that a primordial black hole could produce the same gravitational effect on Neptune and Kuiper Belt objects, and so is not unlikely either. If it was a primordial black hole, that could explain why we have yet to see it, since such objects are cold and dark, visible only by their gravity. So that's it for today. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. Well, that last one, you know, the first one for any Seinfeld fans out there, I just was thinking myself, did you just yada yada impeachment? Basically, you're so sick of hearing this that, you know, you just move on from it. But I feel you, you know, I never cared about politics. Don't get me wrong, you know, I voted.
I used to care about politics, and Donald Trump has made me not. I'm sick of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is a little much, and I don't know if he can be blamed
right.
for ruining politics for us. I think
the media might
have some blame for that with the 24-hour Twitter coverage.
Do you know what I'd do if I wanted
24-hour Twitter coverage?
Just say crazy stuff all day.
I'd read Twitter. Twitter already is 24-hour Twitter coverage. I don't need the news doing it, too.
No, it's true.
It's insane.
That was a good catch, Kara, by the way.
Yeah, I almost swore on the radio just now.
Oh.
But
all right. Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And then Trump, happy Mothman Festival. Thank you. Thank you, Trump, for acknowledging my beliefs finally.
Yeah, right?
Right. You know?
This is the first thing he has done as president, of which I have wholeheartedly approved.
Right.
So
maybe we need to take to Twitter and tell him how much we appreciate him.
Yeah, maybe we need to encourage this behavior, I think.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, the left is always joking about how if they want Trump to do what they want, they need to, you know, stroke his ego and, you know, say all the stuff that'll make Trump want to do what they want to do. You know, so maybe we need to encourage his support.
He definitely did not write this tweet, though.
Really?
Like, it was written by his staff, yeah.
You mean both he and his staff have access to his Twitter?
Yeah, so this is not news.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
So there are two types of Trump tweet, and generally, I forget which one is which, but one is always says sent from my iPhone and the other one to sent from my Android, or it doesn't say anything.
Sweet.
Yeah. Right. I don't remember which is which, but you can tell by their content, because genuine Trump tweets are late at night and incoherent, and the other tweets are, you know, pablum and political.
Right, and
thoroughly edited.
And like, homogenized.
Right. They don't have misspellings right. or all caps.
And they have no no push button ability to them at all, you know, I'm sure.
Right, yeah. No
the
one,
most innocuous things ever, and then you're supposed to believe that these are coming from.
Yeah. Right. And it results in some hilarious things. Like, you know, you get on, I don't know, Pride Day or something. I forget which day it was. You get, you know, Trump, you know, saying, we're so proud of our LGBTQ Americans. And it's like a few weeks after he bans trans people from the military.
Yeah, okay. Right. I wonder if he ever gets mad at his staffers by saying that, like, hey, I didn't mean this. Why are you sending this out?
I have no idea.
How does that work? That's weird.
It is, you know? Weird, and most people don't know that. I feel like the media has also been very disingenuous about that. Huh. Because they like saying it's all Trump, you know.
I see.
There's some kind
of... As though there's an approval process going on, which I guess there might be, you know, there might be an
approval. I think there's an approval process for the vetted, not written by Trump tweets.
Yeah, no, of course. Which
for the other ones, of course, there is absolutely no
process. Well, no, but the other ones are his. It's his account. I mean, he would be the one who needed to approve them.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, or theoretically. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
But I mean...
Or someone with knowledge.
Yeah.
But...
Okay, so this Tucson
enough
man
beating
kills,
up on Trump, yeah.
Kills his son in an exorcism.
Uh-huh.
I assume the son was a newborn.
I think it was a few years later.
Okay.
The article was vague. It said child, not like infant.
And then, you know, I think of an exorcism as like trying to get the demon out, not just drowning the thing.
I think he got the demon out.
I see.
I think he got him.
Yeah. That's messed up, man. That is, like, messed up. I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't think of any other radio-friendly words to apply to this, you know. That is absolutely nutty. And then Planet Nine might be a small black hole. This,
So we'd better hope it's not a nuclear...
How small can you make a black hole?
You can make... Okay, so this is actually interesting. You can make a black hole however small or however big. If you compressed, it's a matter of density, not mass. So the Earth could be a black hole if you condense the Earth down to, I forget what it is, the size of a bowling ball, the size of a marble, I forget what it is, somewhere around there.
I thought the one they were talking about, they said it was a bowling ball size, possibly.
Yeah.
The one you were referring to.
Oh, yeah, that's quite possible. I might not have read the article.
I think it was like five Earth densities or maybe
crazy.
It was the
sun. Yeah, so you squish five Earths down to the size of a bowling ball, that's a black hole because...
That would explain why we haven't been able to see it.
Yeah, well, it would, you know... I mean, we wouldn't necessarily see a planet either unless the light was hitting it just right, but you wouldn't see a black hole at all.
Because the light would never hit it just right.
Right. You can only see it through its gravitational effects in other bodies, which, of course, we've observed.
And the warping
a bunch
of light
times.
Behind it. But if it's so incredibly small that, you know, you'd have to be pretty pinpointed on where you were looking for the warping of light.
Yeah. I don't want to confirm or deny any of that because I am not an astrophysicist, but that sure sounds right.
Turns out I am.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad we have
If you're
you
able to be highly educated by spending most of your youth by watching a lot of television, then
lots of Nova.
The most educated man on the planet. Before we go to break here, I got to say my daughter Jasmine watched Jeopardy with us this evening, and after first round of Jeopardy, she was all bummed that the only answer that she got right was, what is bronies?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I think
some question about My Little Pony.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody else on the show got it, Jasmine. So feel all right. All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Coming back, we're going to be talking with our own Kara. We're going to be talking about dragons.
Yep.
Sky serpents, sea serpents, so
all
on and
serpents.
So forth.
Yep.
So come on back. You are listening to Radio Wasteland.
Swing that thing. Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
It's alive! Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios at Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Tonight's topic, we're talking about dragons. Kara and I have been on a little mission to better self-educate ourselves. About a month ago, I took the topic of artificial intelligence and dug into that one a bit. And today you're digging into dragons for us, right?
That's correct.
So I'm going to quiz you on everything you know, and you need to know it immediately right off the bat.
That sounds good, yeah.
Okay. How many scales does a dragon?
That depends on the eyewitness report in question. Sometimes they don't even have scales.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe we shouldn't do it that way. Why don't we have you start
just,
with that?
Yeah, I'm just going to give listeners some context of what we're talking about, and then you can kind of work with this. So, yeah, let's start with the sky serpents, because that's, you know, sort of more classic dragons. Okay. So, basically, we're talking about long tubular objects spotted in the sky, usually vividly colored, displaying twisting, snake-like movements. So, there have been a number of sightings of these things in modern times, sometimes called sky snakes, sometimes called snake UFOs, etc. Now, based on that description, I know what listeners are thinking. They are thinking, these are balloons. Like, a line of balloons from a wedding or whatever escapes, and the wind buffets it about, producing the trademark snake-like movements, and these things have only ever been spotted at a distance in modern times, so it makes sense that when they're closer, people realize, yeah, these are just balloons. Mm. So I would tend to agree with that and would not have done this topic if that was all it was.
If that was the extent, yeah.
Except for the one thing, ubiquitous use of balloons like that is a modern thing, and these sightings are not all modern. Mm-hmm. So, AD 793 from the medieval text Historia Anglorum, quote, fiery dragons were seen flying in the air and soon followed a great famine. 19 years later, it reports red signs appeared in the sky after sunset, and horrid serpents were seen in Sussex with great amazement. So that's a little ambiguous. It could be, you know, that could be any type of dragon, but it gets better. 1669, a pamphlet describes how flying serpents, 8 or 9 feet long, with tiny wings and sharp teeth, terrorized the town of Henham, England. These same sightings continued throughout the centuries. In fact, at the beginning of the 20th century, there were still people in the area who were called spotting these things, snakes with wings and coats shining like jewels of all types, who would kill foxes and poultry. 1762, a twisting serpent illuminated the sky for 6 minutes as it floated over Bedford, Devonshire. 1873, a farmer spotted an enormous serpent as long and as large as a telegraph pole with yellow stripes floating in the sky. Witnesses for many miles spotted it moving in the same snake-like pattern captured on video by modern eyewitnesses, coiling and seeming to strike at something unseen, which, if you watch videos of modern sky serpents, that's an exact description of that, basically. Right. A few days later, a similar object was sighted over Fort Scott, Kansas, by two unnamed sources known to be reliable witnesses willing to sign affidavits attesting to that fact. 1880, another one, 75 feet long and shaped like a serpent, spotted in the skies over North Carolina with very distinctive eyes and mouth. Man watched it. A man and his family watched it for about half an hour. 1897, a 40 or 50 foot long snake is spotted several times in the skies above Hartsville, South Carolina. It is seen just above the treetops. So as we get into the 20th and 21st century, sightings explode to the point where it's kind of useless to just list them, right, especially since a lot of them could be balloons, like I said earlier.
Yeah. But so these aren't winged.
Some of them are, and some of them aren't.
But for the most part, no.
Generally speaking, they are described as snakes.
Right.
Which is interesting, but when you read historically, we are very familiar with dragons that are specifically European.
Right.
Which the European idea of dragons as sort of a four-legged thing with wings, sort of even proportions to its body, more lizard-like than snake-like, that's an invention of the medieval era, specifically.
Yeah, but even then they had the snake-like ones, the worms and stuff like that,
exactly,
going on in Europe, yeah.
Right, it was sort of a shift over time, and yeah. I think it became sort of more modern with, you know, modern fantasy and all that, smog and
right.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But in basically every other culture, and you find these things in the mythology of every culture, even ones that didn't have any contact after, you know, the Bering Strait.
Right.
Like, you find them in the Americas, North America, South America, Central America, and you find them in Europe, Asia, and Africa. So, that's all of it.
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, and Australia. I guess I forgot that Australia existed, but whatever.
Right. Whatever.
Who cares? They're tiny.
You know, it's just like, I have a hard time with these for the same reason that I have a hard time with a lot of cryptids, but this one all the more so. Because it's just so, so incredibly
weird,
abstract, so weird, you know. And
yeah.
And even on a UFO level, it's so weird, you know. It's like, on a UFO level, it's like they're the bad guy from a Scooby-Doo, and they're just all, let's create a giant lizard ride and scare the locals, you know. It's like,
right.
What is that? You know,
well, so weird. Here's an eyewitness report that our previous guest, Long Strickler, published on the site a couple of days ago. It says, it clocked in at about 10 football fields long, undulating in an ascending way, but the best part is it opened like a carrier and spewed out hundreds of saucer chips and energy orbs, zillions of them.
Huh.
So, anonymous eyewitness there. No, you know, corroboration necessarily, so who knows. But I think in recent times, the interpretation of this has gone from snake that flies around to UFO that, for whatever reason, is long and tubular and sort of twisty.
Right. The thought could be there that I think on some of our other shows, I've talked a little bit about this technology that I thought was really interesting. We were talking about the Phoenix Lights at one point, and I was talking about how on TV I saw them, the military testing drone-controlled truck caravans,
sure,
where the person is driving the truck at the front, and he is leading several other trucks that are compensating, but for the most part, remote-controlled, following his exact path, making slight variations for whatever changes happened in the road. You know, and I mean, I guess that could make some sort of sense for some sort of cylindrical, snake-like UFO situation.
Right. Some of the explanations people have proposed, like flocks of birds, maybe, but that what that doesn't account for is the weird color. They're often, you know, vibrantly multicolored, you know, with stripes and all kinds of other stuff going on, which... You know,
so they're dragons.
Is it a flock of peacocks? What's happening?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I don't. Are they dragons? I don't know.
Hard to swallow dragons, right?
It's a tough one. Well, it's not. It's not hard for dragons to swallow us.
No, that's certainly true.
I just got a disappointed head shake from Jared for that one. you know, this is one of those ones that is so far fetched. I can't believe it. But I want to believe it so badly that I might just believe it. Because I grew up, I was the D&D nerd, I was the dragon nerd, I read Tolkien way too young to the point where I had to reread it twice because I read it too young, and then I read it too young again, and then I had to read it a third time before I was actually able to understand what I was even reading, you know?
Yeah.
Just because I like seeing the word elf a lot, you know? So, man... That's intense.
You know what? I think there might be something here.
Do you?
I don't know about... I don't think they're literal dragons. You know, I'm...
Well, I think
don't
it's fair to
about...
say that we don't have a grasp. If it is something, then we don't know what it is, obviously.
But there are a lot of these eyewitness reports, many of which are very similar to what's been caught on video in modern times, and that's just... That points to me to something.
Right.
Who knows what, but there's something going on here, something fishy.
Well, I think about this a lot when it comes to, in this day and age, when people come up with stuff, when people come up with hoaxes, we know it can be monetized. We know that they can get something out of it. You know,
I
wonder what the motivation was then, if people were hoaxing these things or making these up. You know, where was the motivation? Nobody's buying your book. Chances are you can't read or write.
Right.
You know,
Most of these people were peasants.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, you know, it's not.
But people do tell tall tales. I mean, that's.
Yeah, but they tend to make it known. I mean, everybody knows that Pecos Bill and Paul Bunyan, they were tall tales of the Old West. I mean, that's what they were known as. Nobody was going around believing them.
What's interesting, though, is that in most of these, you do not have to rely on a single eyewitness because they were seen by multiple people.
Right.
So that makes it even a little bit stranger.
Right.
Like, medieval England, what could people – or, no, I think even the better one was the one in 1873. So 1873 in the wilds of the Midwest, after the Civil War – what could a bunch of people see floating in the sky that looks like a snake for miles?
Right.
What could that possibly be?
I don't know. Satan, probably.
Yeah,
probably Satan. Right. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. We're talking about dragons, sky serpents this time around, maybe a little bit more next time. We're going to be talking about sea serpents later, so stick around and, you know, all that. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland, right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking about dragons, and last segment we talked about sky serpents, serpents Indeed. Of the sky. Definitely some just wild, over-the-top stuff there, especially stuff that we historically would associate with being myth. Mm-hmm. And currently would associate with being hoax or a
right
or a flagrant misunderstanding of the situation.
That's kind of why I tried to focus on the 19th century, because
right.
it's less, you know, you can identify with the 19th century, but it's also, it's not the era of Photoshop, right?
Right. And here, moving on to sea serpents, that really, I'm going to guess, I didn't do any research on this, you brought it all, but I'm going to guess that there's a lot from the 19th century.
Yes,
there,
there is.
You know, so
Yeah, so I'll just take it away.
Give us a rundown there.
So first off, like the sky serpent, there's definitely a mythological basis. In fact, almost every religion has a serpent god associated with water, often defeated by some form of sky god to create the world. You know, Tiamat defeated by Marduk, Apep defeated by Ra, Lotan defeated by Baal, Rahab or Leviathan defeated by Yahweh, Jormungandr defeated by Thor, all the same story. This motif actually has a name. It's called the Chaos Kampf, which is German for, I think, just chaos story, which is not as impressive sounding as Chaos Kampf, but whatever. So the Greeks also had numerous sea monsters that were described as serpents, notably Cetus, a great monster summoned by Poseidon. But there are also live sightings in antiquity. A Roman commander near the Bubber in Carthage encountered a 120-foot water snake, which killed and poisoned many of his men and could not be harmed by spears. They eventually killed it by crushing its head with a rock from a ballista, and apparently its viscera poisoned the water. He presented a detailed account of this to his commanders and took the skin and jaws back to Rome for study, where it was held as an object of wonder for 100 years. Aristotle wrote of similar reports in the same area. There were numerous other reports of sea serpents just as large from the classical world, not written not as fiction, but as scholarly recordings of just things that had washed up on beaches, basically. So these sightings continued through the medieval era, but I want to skip right to the early 19th century when the well-respected Linnaean Society of New England investigated reports of the cryptid Gloucester sea serpent and found it credible, including the creature in their taxonomy, dubbing it Scoliophus atlanticus. So the Gloucester sea serpent, first sighted by a sailing vessel, the skipper reported a 60-foot sea serpent floating in the water. Hundreds more sightings poured in as the years went on, most by reliable witnesses. 18 signed depositions were given under oath to attest to these. The sightings described large humps on the back, a snake-like head, a long neck, and, of course, ridiculous size. At one point, a crowd of more than 200 people spotted the Gloucester serpent, as attested by a former aide of George Washington. Later on, in 1848, sailors of the HMS Daedalus spotted a 60-foot sea serpent near the Port of Good Hope. The creature passed extremely close to the ship, so the captain could see its snake-like head and massive teeth. They watched it for 20 minutes. And, of course, in the 20th century, there are a number of sea serpent-type cryptids. The Lake Ladoga monster, spotted in the 70s and 80s. The UB-85 atrocity, spotted by a British patrol ship in 1918. The Lake Elsinore monster, which has been sighted a number of times from the 1880s to the 1990s. Now, not all of these creatures are described as being serpent-like in shape, and not all of the witnesses would have been as familiar with sea life as certainly the sailors on the HMS Daedalus would have been.
Right.
But the quantity of sea serpent sightings has definitely boomed. Just in 2015, there was one caught on video off the coast of Florida in the Sanibel Island area. So, lots of stuff there, too.
Yeah, so this one is a little, you know... We have a fairly good grasp of life in the sky.
Yes, there are birds.
Right. We have a fairly good grasp of how many there are, what they are, and their species.
Yes.
But when it comes to the ocean, it becomes much more plausible that there is something big and freaky that we just don't know of yet.
Yeah, I think so. I do still have... You know, a 60-foot serpent, 120-foot serpent, you know, these are sizes that kind of strain credulity, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, 120-foot is much longer than a blue whale, for one thing. Like, that's several times the size of a blue whale. Maybe not in mass, but in terms of sheer length.
Right. Yeah.
where would that creature get its calories? How could a breeding population be
eating maintained? Blue whales?
Yeah,
eating blue whales.
Eating blue whales. Okay, we solve it. Trophic levels be darned.
So outside of seafaring people and stuff like that, of course it's going to be in with seafaring people. But...
Exactly. And so most of these tend to be explained away as oarfish or whales or, you know, the wake from a fish or something in the water.
Right, yeah.
The trouble with that is that even in ancient times, even in Roman times, people knew what whales looked like, you know.
Yeah.
Sailors from the invention of sailing on have always been familiar with sea life.
Right. Yeah, especially the surface guys.
Yeah.
You know, the ones
so
that are coming
it,
out.
If they say it's something weird. Especially this Bagratis River thing where, you know, people have tried to explain that away as any number of things, you know. Most notably, they've said, okay, it was a big crocodile. It killed a bunch of men. Hmm. It's like, okay, they would have known what crocodiles were, and they really took this thing's jaw and skin back to Rome. Because
right.
It was a crocodile.
Right.
Just
the only,
just to show it off.
Right. The only way that you could justify that is like, uh-oh, I went crazy and killed my crew. I better bring
right.
something back to convince them that I didn't do that. You know, it's like,
right.
why else would you do this? And then, I mean, that story right there, I mean, that's like...
That's crazy, right?
That's some terrifying...
It's mythology.
You know, bleeding, poisoning, crazy stuff right there.
Right.
Plus, that seems to be one of the only ones that you brought up here where it's actually an attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them don't appear to be attacks. They appear to be sightings.
Right. Yeah. So I've picked through these a little bit and found the best. But there are a couple where humans have attacked the sea serpent.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, in some of them it seems unperturbed by gunfire. In others it bleeds but dives. In others it just sort of dives to avoid the shot and
right.
appears.
But that's when it's like just a little 60-foot baby.
You know? Yeah, not the 120-foot river
right,
leviathan.
Yeah, yeah. And of course people are prone to, you know, I mean...
Exaggeration.
You know, there's what's the fish tails, you know? Mm. I mean, of course, obviously
these are the
that's
ultimate
where it gets... Right,
tails.
I mean, these are,
right.
these are the guys who this is named after, but still, you know...
But... I caught the biggest fish the other day. It killed 30 men.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
totally.
That's a little different than...
Right.
It's
yeah.
like you... you.
Then I brought it home and slapped it on the counter and told the missus to clean it up and that there was going to be good eating tonight, you know.
Bitter are acidic and poisonous, though, so don't
right.
touch those.
Right,
yeah.
You would have been, oh.
It's crazy, though. Like, this guy turned in this report to his superiors back in Rome.
Right.
This military general... was, like, hands in something that looks like a comic book, and they're like, yeah, it sounds legit.
Right, because, you know, you'd have to be ballsy to do it, because if they didn't believe you, you know, back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they did to people back then, back when they were smart, to people who lied about their fish.
I don't know what specifically
they killed
they
them.
Did. Okay, I thought you were going to say, you know, they impaled them or
no, I don't.
Drew and quartered them or something awful. But
no, I was making a terrible pop culture reference.
Oh, okay.
All right, so when we come back from break, let's see if we can put the two of these together. Because personally, I view them as being entirely and drastically separate.
Yeah, well.
And like, how were they put together you know, where do we go from there? All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We got more to tell you.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Another cult classic movie night is coming to Redding's historic Cascade Theater October 4th with a showing of the sci-fi film Blade Runner. Gather some friends, grab a drink and snacks at the bar, and enjoy a screening of this chilling futuristic detective thriller starring Harrison Ford, Friday, October 4th at 7:30 at the Cascade. Advance tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Redding. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We've been talking about dragons, Kara and I. Before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about how, historically and everything, it seems like the two of these have been put together. But but when we talk about them and we talk about the sightings, they seem very drastically different from one another, and entirely different types of cultures and people are seeing them within the cultures. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, there's no farmer seeing the sea serpents, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of seafarers seeing the sky serpents.
No, that's true.
You know, so it's like...
And overall, there are far fewer sightings of sky serpents.
Yeah, I figured.
Like, I sort of culled down the sea serpents so they were both roughly the same length. But there are quite a few more sea serpent sightings.
Right, yeah. So, you know, how do we associate the two? You know, how did we make the leap?
Well, they are both snakes that are about the same size.
They're all snaky.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the...
And, you know, you're getting 40 feet, 60 feet, you know, sort of in that area.
Right.
The 10 football field long one is kind of an outlier, but so is the 120-foot snake in the Roman commander saw, so...
Right.
You know.
You know, for me personally, whenever we've talked about dragons and I've read about dragons and stuff, I viewed, like we were saying earlier, European dragons and Asian dragons being drastically different in the same sense, you know, and I'm wondering, like, how different are we talking? Because, like,
Asian dragons are much closer to the traditional thing, which is more what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. Small wings, small feet.
Well, I also mean in what they are, because there's also demon. The word demon is used a lot in translated stuff coming out of the East.
Sure.
But the word demon doesn't mean to them what it means to us.
Right.
You know, here
demon,
in the West.
The word demon literally just means spirit.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think it's originally a Greek or Latin word. I can't remember. I think Latin. But it just means... It could mean anything from a ghost to a god to some form of evil spirit or monster.
Right.
It basically anything that is incorporeal. Kinda. Right.
I see. Okay. Well, that makes more sense. You know.
Right.
So, because it seems like their dragons even have drastically different different personalities, different purposes, different functions. You know. They're not, like, going around eating people, and knights aren't going out to kill them, it doesn't seem to be.
Well, you do get some malevolent dragons in China, but China's been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know, the myths evolve a little bit over time. So you do get a little of that, but you're right. Mostly you do get sort of your wise, helpful, or at the very least kind of just enigmatic dragon.
And another big part about... their culture and dragons, and is that it seems that dragons and their history and their religion are a little more interwoven.
Sure.
Maybe that's just because I'm getting the Cliff's Notes about it.
Mm-hmm.
Than our European, you know, the dragons, there doesn't seem to be any tie really to religion when it comes to Arthurian legend and stuff like that, you know.
No, not particularly. Like I mentioned earlier, the Leviathan, which is, you know, more of
biblical,
sea serpent-like thing, is biblical. But even that, you have to do quite a bit of, like, extrapolation to kind of figure out what they're talking about when they bring it up.
Plus,
like,
wasn't the Leviathan, like, explained in, like, one sentence, and so was the behemoth?
Yeah, basically.
So, I mean, they could have. All sorts of stuff. I've heard that the behemoth was like a giant ox or something, but I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how much embellishment is going into this, because I'm not very biblically read.
No, me neither. And, I mean, that's not really my fault. It's just if I touch one, I burn. So
right.
I need someone to turn the pages for me. I tried getting an e-book, but the light blistered my eye, so it...
You got company over, and they're just all, what is up with these connected chopsticks? You're all, oh, those are my Bible-turning sticks. You know, those are so, I don't, you know.
You know, they're made of blackthorn from a tree that 17 maidens were hung from. They counteract the holy energy.
Well, I'm sure that's what the home audience is thinking, going, man, that Kara sure sounds evil. I bet you she can't touch a Bible.
Yeah.
Because you're so scared.
I've been told that. I've been told I'm both imposing and intimidating.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say,
I'm
it was
so
somebody
sad.
Who wanted to date you, isn't it?
No one has said that to
me. Okay.
I just want someone to tell me I'm scary, but it's never happened.
Yeah. Well, as soon as they examine your trunk, maybe they'll think you're scary.
Okay, they don't need to look that close. I want a middle ground.
So... You know, I'm sure that you went into this dragon thing very skeptically.
I knew most of this before I went into the dragon thing. I just needed to look up, you know, the dates and times.
You just needed to reaffirm this. So,
yeah.
So what's your take? Let's say sky serpents. What's your take?
Sky serpents. UFO.
If anything.
If anything, sure.
Now, what's your take, like, how likely do you think that this is anything other than just a big mistake? How likely do you think it is a UFO, you know?
Well, I'd put my likelihood at...
Likely might not be the right word.
I don't think it's just a big mistake.
I see.
I think other explanations range from kind of hallucination to weird interdimensional being to, I don't know, weird clouds.
Ball lightning.
Yeah. Weird snake ball lightning with scales.
Right.
I think of those, UFO is the most likely explanation.
Yeah, all right. Now, what about the sea serpent?
Sea serpent. I really have no idea what to make of the sea serpents, because an animal that large, I have a real hard time believing.
Aren't they the same size up in the sky?
Well, I don't think that's an animal. I don't think it possibly could be an animal. Like, I think we would notice that all the birds were missing.
Right, yeah.
If it was an animal. Like,
yeah, because I'm personally much more apt to believe in the sea serpent.
Yeah, well, I think the encounters and stuff are more likely. Right. But I just they act more like animals. It's just, this is a huge animal.
Yeah,
I guess it is like dinosaur size.
There's like a catfish down there that's like the size of a school bus, you know.
Okay, I guess what I'd say for sea serpent is animal and people exaggerated the size by at least 50% in all of these sightings.
Right. All right.
Which still makes for a big snake.
That is a big snake. All right. So you have been listening to Radio Wasteland. I have been your host, Chauncey Allworth. You have been our guest / host, Kara Kittrick.
Can I come back next week, though? This was fun.
No.
Aren't you going to tell the audience where you can find more about me?
Yeah, you can find more about you at
RadioWasteland.us.
All right, thank you for checking out Radio Wasteland.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health,
Your choice. Chester.